Lord, we just want to be in your presence, Lord. We just want more of you, Lord, in everything that we do, Jesus. Lord, we want to enter your gate with thanksgiving, Lord, and your courts with praise, Lord. We want to give you thanks, Lord, and bless your name, Lord, for you are good and your steadfast love endures forever, Lord. And Lord, you are faithful to all generations, Lord, even us as a generation. I just want to praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father, we just pray for your love, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will love as you love, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we just pray, Lord God, that we will enter in your presence, Lord, and be changed by who you are, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your love and your goodness, Lord, and Lord, that your mercy endures forever, Lord. Lord, there are so many things that sometimes prevent us, Lord, from coming into the fullness of what you've called us for, Lord. But I really pray, Lord God, that we will meet with you, Lord. Lord, as Joshua the high priest came into your presence, Lord, and he didn't even repent, Lord, but you said, Satan, I rebuke you. And you took his filthy garments and you gave him new garments, Lord, that in that place, when we come into your presence, Lord, you come and do a new thing for us, Lord. You come and change our lives, Lord. You just come and change who we are, Lord. But Father, I pray, Lord, for people to really just break away from their own desires, the things that prevent them from coming into your presence, Lord. And even this evening that we come and surrender to you, Lord. That we surrender to your purposes and say, thank you, Jesus. Take a hold of my life, Lord. And that we will understand that even now you are present in this place, Lord. That you are here. And that you say, you are my child and I have begotten you. I'm well pleased with you. You are mine. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go. You are mine. And I love you, amen. Says the Lord. I bless you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for good things to come, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I had a fright three times this morning, and I don't want to go for a fifth time today, because I might get a shock with this back. Just very terrible for me. So I'm going to go with the handheld for tonight. I'm trying to attempt a teaching which is out of my gifting, I think. But I'm really just believe this is a word from the Lord. And if Dr. Malik can correct me afterwards, it's really great to see you. but it's like God has been walking a journey with me with Joshua the high priest, where Joshua is standing with his beautiful garments before God. And God says, this is filthy garments because our best is filthy before God. And then in his presence, Satan is there to accuse him. And God the Father says, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. And the angel of the Lord, which I believe is Jesus Christ, comes and he changes the garments and he gives him new garments in Christ. And there's a transformation that happens with Joshua in the presence of God. And then from there, and it's talking about garments, and I want to talk a little bit about garments tonight. And then last week, the whole thing about shape me, where God form us when we go through suffering and trials and tribulations, that God wants to form us because he wants to raise us up as a kingdom of priests. Not kings and priests, but a kingdom of priests, that all of us represent God on this earth. Wherever we go, that we're representing God to the earth, but we're also representing the earth to God. And that all of us have a calling to that, because he wants to. And when we go through suffering and tribulation and tough times, he takes us and he forms us like clay, because God is the potter and we are the clay. He forms us to become living stones in 1 Peter 2, to be built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So we go through tough times, and I've heard of this one cell. They took clay this week, and the cell leader said, no, you go and you make something with the clay that represents what God wants to do in your life. And most did hearts, but this one man made two round balls like this. And he said, all the edges is the unforgiveness and the stuff in his life that God just wants to come and smooth out. And he wants us to become round, because all the stuff that is not from him, he wants to roll out for us. And I really believe that's such a beautiful picture, where God comes and he wants to make us something that in our own strength we cannot be. But if we are priests, what are we supposed to do? What is a priest supposed to do? And in the New Testament, there's not much said about priesthood, except in Hebrews about Jesus, who is our high priest, and in him there's a new priesthood. But we have to look at the Old Testament to see, because the blueprint was set for the new test, for the priesthood or the office of the priest, and we have to go without the wedding garment. And he was speechless. So this man didn't have a wedding garment, he was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, bind him, his hands and his feet, take him out and cast him in outer darkness. There will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So this man comes into heaven and he's not wearing the right garment. What is the garment that he was supposed to wear? And then he gets cast out. He gets cast out because he's not wearing the right garment. Now, Revelation 19 says the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And this is where I'm just thinking, if the white linen is the righteous deeds of the saints, then white linen represents the righteousness of God. When you go back to the Old Testament, I know I'm cheating a little bit here, but just bear with me, because I'm looking at the Old Testament through the New Testament. But I really believe that there's some significance to that, and I'm going to come back to that just now. Isaiah 61 said that Jesus came to comfort or to console those who mourn. So he comes to comfort those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, to give them the oil of joy for mourning, and then the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there's another garment that we get, the spirit of the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that you may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God may be glorified. Then verse 6 continues, and you shall be called priests of the Lord. Once again, all of us has a calling to become priests before God, that they may speak to you as ministers of our God. So all of us are called as priests and to minister God, who God is, to the world. And then verse 10 continues and says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with a garment of salvation. So here's a garment that we put on as salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So there's garments being put on that is spiritual garments that we have to look at. It talks about a garment of praise. It talks about a garment of salvation. It talks about a robe of righteousness. So when we look at the Old Testament in Exodus 28, it talks about the garment of the high priest, and it explains what the garment had to wear from about 21 to 43 in Exodus 28. But God instructed Moses to bring Aaron to him, and him and his four sons were God. Moses had to instruct his people to make them holy garments for the glory and for the beauty. The garment is to glorify God and to represent the beauty of God to this earth. Interesting, Aaron had four sons, and the fivefold ministry, for those of you who have heard about it, I really believe it represents the fivefold ministry. He's probably the apostle with the four, the teacher, evangelist, pastor, and the prophet. But that's just what I think it could represent. Then verse 42 says, you will make them linen of undergarments to cover their naked flesh, and it shall reach from their hips to their thighs. So here again, these garments that's made to cover our nakedness. And this garment is like underpants that comes from the earth up. It's being pulled up, and it represents, I believe, salvation. It's a choice that each one of us makes. God calls us, but I can't decide for you, God. Or I can't if you besluit nie, net jy kan nou besluit maak that I want to serve God. It's each one's own decision. God has called everyone. He sent His only Son for the whole world. But each one of us can only make that decision to put on this garment. I also believe this garment, it's like underclothes. You must do it daily. Very important in life that you put new undergarments on daily. That you put your salvation on every day. Because after a while, it might not be as good anymore. It might lose its flavor a little bit. So we put on new garments, the garment of salvation that we put it on. But the second garment is also a white garment. And garment, the white represents God's righteousness. And just want to say, salvation is a free gift. It's for free, it's for everyone, but we put it on. It's like when you're a little boy, your mother always have clean undergarments for you at home. If you have children, you'll laugh at my joke, but probably most of you don't have children. But anyway, there's a second garment, the robe of righteousness that is white as well. When you put the salvation on, the robe of righteousness comes from the top. So from heaven to the earth comes another robe. We put on salvation and the righteousness of God comes from atop. So we become the righteousness of God because of the decision that we make to follow Jesus. And then there's a third garment, the blue robe, or it says the robe of the effort, all of blue, that I'm going to talk more about now. And then there's the turban, the white cloth that is being put on the person's head. On the high priest is also gold, and it says holy to the Lord. And I just explained that our thoughts and what Chris did was so significant, that our thoughts are being covered by the holiness of God. Holiness starts in our mind. It's those thoughts that we must take captive to the obedience of Christ. It all starts here. When you start thinking, oh, I'm depressed. You say, no, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, I can put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. It starts here. We start speaking the truth to our own mind. When you start thinking evil thoughts, like I did on Thursday, when my day just started off bad and I was on the phone with people, and then I did my internet banking and I paid a lady that used to work for us some time ago, not the one working for us anymore, and it's like 1,260 rands out of my account like this, then you start really opening doors, back doors, the sliding door, and bad things start happening, because the more you get angry, the more things is going bad in your life. So then I had to just go and repent and say, God, forgive me, so that I could get my mind again holy before God, because I did every mistake in the book. And, I had to repent because of that. But holiness starts in the mind, and I just was so reminded of that again. Now, the blue robe of the effort that I want to talk to you about was, when you look at Leviticus 3, it talks about the holy garments that you put in from the bottom and the top, and it says at the end, he shall bathe his body in water and then put it on. So, and I just this morning, I just thought I'm going to throw it in there that we must get baptized. And it was so amazing. There was a little boy, he's about 9 years old, and he said to his parents, I'm going to get baptized. And he was just so, I'm going to get baptized. And the parents was like a bit thrown by him, and they came to be baptized. And the father said he wants to baptize him. And I said, have you been baptized? And he says, as a baby? I said, no, sorry, then you can't. And then just eventually, but this boy was so adamant, he's going to be baptized. And the father and mother, and all their nice clothes came, I'm going to get baptized. We want to be baptized. So we baptized the parents as well. Then we baptized the little boy. And then the older brother also said, oh, he jumped in the water. Also, I want to be baptized. And it was so just amazing, this whole thing about just, you know, we must just be obedient to what God do. Don't be shy of what's happening in this church. You know, I heard someone saying, oh yeah, that's why we don't want to invite people. Like last week, they were a bit freaked out because of the dancing and they ran away. And someone said, oh, that's why I don't want to invite people. But we mustn't be shy for our family, you know. We must be open. Don't be shy for what God has done in your life. Just give God the glory and honor. Get baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, this blue garment, there is a picture of it. There's no seams in it, but it comes from the top as well. Luke 24 says that I'm sending you a promise. Jesus says he's sending us a promise from the Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. We're getting clothed from power from on high. Luke 3:16 says, John the Baptist says, I'm baptizing you for the forgiveness of your sins, but someone mightier than me is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So I really believe the blue garment, can you just go back please? The blue garment is representing the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look at this garment here at the bottom, I must be honest with you, I don't know what the rest is, but I want to find out still. The blue garment here has like these things underneath it. It's a pomegranate and a bell, a golden bell. And when you look at Exodus 28, verse 33, says, on the hem you shall make pomegranate of blue and purple and scarlet yarns around its hem with bells of gold between them. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate around the hem of the robe. A pomegranate is a fruit. It's a type of fruit. And the bell is loud. So when the priest walks, it makes this noise because of the bells. The fruit represents the fruit of the Spirit. The holy garment, the blue garment, is the Spirit of God. It comes from above. When it is upon you, when you walk, you can hear garment is on you. It makes a noise. It makes a noise because of the bells, but it also represents the fruit. The fruit, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's not one and I've got to work on the other. It's all of them because you are wearing the garment of the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? Because we many times say, oh, I've got to work on my kindness, but I'm getting the patience ready. That's not from the Holy Spirit. Because you are wearing the Holy Spirit, you are in the presence of God, you will have all of them. Then the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 says the Spirit of wisdom, or the gift of wisdom, of knowledge, of faith, of gift of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There's 9 gifts and there's 9 fruit. So pomegranate, a bell. It's not one. Verse 11 says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is not a gift that you have. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to you because you're wearing the garment of the Holy Spirit, the blue garment. So when you walk, you should manifest all of them, the gifts and the fruit. Now, when you look at 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. 13 talks about the fruit. 14 talks about the gifts again. So the pomegranate, the bell, that's how it's represented and how it came to fulfillment in the New Testament. Then Exodus 28 verse 35, very interesting, says, it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its sound shall be heard. The sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, so that he does not die. So we many times come to church and we want to be quiet. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we must make a noise because we will die if we don't. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament, don't worry about that. I'm just making. But don't you think it's amazing that the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit is allowed? That God is not a strict God. He wants us to bring joy and sing and praise before Him. That's something that comes because the Holy Spirit is upon us. You're just so full of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There's excitement, there's love in you, there's peace in you. There's all those things because you are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you can just go to the next picture. This is the tabernacle tent. And as you wear different garments, you can only enter certain areas of the tabernacle. If you had the linen, the white, which is the salvation, and then the righteousness comes from the top, you can only go on the outside. So you can only minister here. In other words, you slaughter the cows and the sheep for the sacrifices. That's you only will go on the outside. But when you put on the garments for the Holy Spirit of the Holy Spirit of the High Priest with all the extras, you are allowed to go into the holy place. So for us, you cannot go into the holy place if you don't have the Holy Spirit on you. And I think this is so important for us to come into that place where we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can enter into the presence of God. Then the most holy place, you could only go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And much fasting and prayer had to be done. Many animals had to be slaughtered for the blood, for them to be able to go into the most holy place, because God wanted to speak to the people from Israel, from the seat, the mercy seat, once a year. But then after Jesus died on the cross, that hem or that veil that tore from the top to the bottom means that we can enter into the presence, the most holy place, anytime. And I think this is what's so significant about the garments. But you know, when we look and we realize that we can come into the holy place, I just believe that, you know, I spoke to a man this week. He's been saved for 66 years. He got saved in 1943. And he's been serving God, but he's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And his son went to a charismatic church, and he didn't like it much because he felt the charismatics are full of themselves. And then his grandchild came to him and prayed for him. And then he realized there's something, because his grandson started quoting scripture to him, and then he really realized there's something different about that. And you know, and he's open that it could be the Holy Spirit. But he said to me something very significant. He said to me, you know, we are part of a men's ministry, and I see many Christians, charismatics and conservatives, all the like. They come to church on Sunday, and they come to Friday meetings. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're all the same. There's no difference. And I thought, yeah, we who are supposed to have the Holy Spirit, the garment of the Holy Spirit, why doesn't it change us? Why doesn't it change us that we become different to the other Christians? Why don't we stand out if we are supposed to have the Spirit of God on us? What is the reason for that? And I believe, I looked at Revelations, I believe there's a different garment that we must wear. It's a different garment to just have the Holy Spirit and have the gifts and the fruit in our lives that makes us different. And when you look at Revelation 6, it says, this is to the saints, they were given each a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. So there's a white robe given to those people who are being killed. Revelation 7 verse 9 says, after this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes, from all the people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. So everyone standing before God was wearing these white robes. Revelation 19 said, let us rejoice and exalt and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready, and it was granted her to clothe herself with white linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So God comes and He makes the bride, the church, ready. It was granted for her to make herself ready. I believe this is where we are now, because many people are going through suffering and tough times. I really believe this is now the time where God is granting us to prepare ourselves, where we're going to be clothed with the white linen. Because I believe the white linen, the white robe, we get if we overcome. If we overcome suffering, the place where you die to yourself, to your own desires, to your own needs, where you say, God, not my will anymore, but your will. I believe that is the place where we get this white robe. Revelation 3 verse 5 says, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. So when you're taking strain, if you can overcome, you'll get the white garment. But many people go back and they fall asleep and they get taken out, because they don't overcome. They don't stand faithful. They don't stand and persevere. They don't want to overcome. They don't want victory. They don't want to persevere in tough times. When they go through the tough times, they blame God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? But that's what happens. And God is the potter and we are the clay, and they resist themselves and they fall off that wheel because how can you do this to me? But the one who overcome will have the victory. Revelation 7 says, then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know, I don't know. And he said, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The great tribulation, the tough times, they've persevered through that. And their robes are being made clean, white, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of what Jesus has done for us. I believe for us to conquer, we must surrender to Jesus. We must surrender. And this is the difference between Christians, whether you're spirit-filled or not, it's the ones who have surrendered to Jesus. Those are the ones that are getting the white robe, because it's not my will anymore, Lord, but it's your will. It's not the things that I want to achieve, my business, my family, my car, my. It's what you want to do. Revelation 12 says, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death. So there's a place where the devil is conquered because we surrendered. We don't love our lives to the death anymore. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. But there's a place where we surrender. Say, God, let your will be done. It's not me anymore, but it's all about who you are. 1 Peter 5 says, verse 5, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. And this humility is a place where you say, I depend on Jesus. It's not my own strength anymore. In my own, I cannot do this. That's pride. When we think we can sort out ourselves, or you run to people, you go to that guy, and then he doesn't give you the answer, then you go to him, and then you go to him, then you go to that one, then you go to that one. But you never go to God. That is pride. And God says, yeah, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that at the proper time he may exalt you. And then cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. That God really cares for us. We must give him all our anxieties, because God cares for us. Clothe yourself with humility and enter God. Because in verse 10 he says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself come. Jesus himself will come to restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and come and establish you. We must surrender to him. When we go through the tough times, say, God, I surrender, because I know all the tough times that I'm going through, Lord, you are in it. And I thank you for this privilege that I have to go through the tough times, because I know you are forming me. Philippians 2 verse 5, this shared it with me, and he said, Have this mind among yourself, which is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you. I'm just going to, I just want to pray, and as the ushers just serve us with communion, that I really believe that this is so important for us, that we are called as priests, and that God has such a calling on our lives, that he has predestined us from the beginning of the world to do a huge thing through each one of us. That God's calling for each one here is huge. And if you don't walk into your calling, there will be a void. And we'll stand in heaven one day, and God will say, I gave 10 talents to this one, 5 talents to this one, and 1 talent to this one. Why did you bury your talents? because you didn't walk into the calling that God has called you for. But I believe that you can only really walk into your calling if you come with a white robe. If you put on that white robe before God and say, Lord, not my will, but your will. We just surrender our lives completely to Jesus and say, God, I know in my own strength I cannot do this anymore. Only in you. And only in that place that God can use us as priests to change and to transform the world. And that we all understand that as Jesus came and he emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant, that we should do the same. We empty ourselves and we must take on the form of a servant to come and serve people around us. Not to be served, but to come and serve those ones that needs to be served. Some people needs to be served and some people needs to be prayed for. That we come to a place where we become the servants of God. That we come to wash feet and not want to be for our feet to be washed. With that place where we just say, God, I surrender to your purposes, Lord. And yes, God has given us the Holy Spirit and he's given us many powerful tools like the blood of the Lamb, the Word. He's given us testimonies. He's given us brothers and sisters in Christ. But most of all, there's a place where he wants to give us a white robe because we surrender our lives to him. So if this evening you realize in my own strength I cannot do this, but I need to surrender to Christ, I want you to take communion with us and say, Lord, we take the bread and we declare that we are part of the body of Christ, Lord. And Father, thank you for the blood, that the devil will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto to the end. Thank you, Lord, that your blood washes clean and white our robes, Lord. Let's drink. Yes, Father, thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you come and you want to equip us, Lord, with various things, Lord, that we can become overcomers in you, Lord, that we are not victims, Lord, but we are overcomers in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the authority that has been given to you and that you say we must walk in the authority because you've died on the cross, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that the veil has torn from the top to the bottom, Lord, because you tore it. So that we can come into the Holy of Holies, Lord. That we can come, and Father, I pray, Lord, that we will not be presumptuous, Lord, about the things of God. That we will understand your holiness, Lord. That we will understand your greatness, Lord. That we will understand as priests, Lord, that in the Old Testament, if a priest came into your presence and he wasn't wearing the right garment, he would die immediately, Lord. That even the two sons of Aaron, when they came into your presence and they were bringing a burnt offering that wasn't required from you, they died right there. And Moses said to his brother, if you tore your garment now, you will die too. Lord, that we understand the holiness of you, Lord. That we understand, Lord, that you are a holy God, Lord. And you want us to be holy, Lord. But Father, that when we put on the garment, the undergarment of salvation, and you give us the robe of righteousness, Lord, that we have the same right as the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your presence, Lord. That when we say and we repent and say, Lord, as far as the east is from the west, you forgive our sin, Lord. When we come in your presence, say, Lord, forgive me, for I've done wrong, Lord. I got so upset because of my own stupidity, Lord. Please forgive me for getting angry at people that didn't have anything to do with this, Lord. And God says, as the far as the east is from the west, it takes away our sin and our iniquity from us. That we understand that when we come into God's presence and we come in because we want to praise his name. We want to thank him for the things that he has done. Because that is God's heart. He wants us, his children, to come into his presence. And he wants to transform us and give us new garments. A white garment. Not because of stuff that we've done, but just decisions that we've made. To make a decision to say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to plan out, but I surrender to you. I surrender my life today and everything that is mine, the house, the car, the career, the wife or the possible wife or husband, even the children, everything, Lord, I surrender to you. I say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. And if it's only me and you for until eternity, I say, thank you, Jesus. Because I know you're a good God and your heart is for us and it's not against us. Maybe you here this evening and you realize that your underpants needs changing. Because God says we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And you just know that I need to come into the presence of God again. I just need to come and make a commitment and say, Lord, I need that garment of salvation again to cover my nakedness, because I've been exposed and I'm feeling so naked in this world at the moment. There's so many things being set against me. There's so many people talking about me. There's so many bad things that I'm doing at the moment. And I just know I need to return to you, Lord. I need that garment of salvation so I can be clothed with a robe of righteousness. If there's anyone like that, just want to raise their hand that I can see who you are. Thank you for that hand. Then maybe these people here who needs the Holy Spirit, that garment, the blue garment that will come from above to come and strengthen us with the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. That you know that there's things in your life where you cannot enter into the holy place because you're not wearing the right garment. If there's anyone that wants to be prayed for to just receive the Holy Spirit, if you can just raise your hand that we can pray for you. Is there anyone like that? And then finally, there are people who need the white robe, the robe to come into the wedding feast. That robe that when that man didn't have that right robe, he was speechless, and the king said, bind him and cast him out into darkness. Because many are called but few are chosen. Maybe you need that robe, the white robe, that the robe where you've been going through tribulation and tough times, but you know you've got to surrender all these things to God so that you can conquer, you can be an overcomer, to have the right to be clothed with the white robe. If there's anyone like that, that want to surrender themselves completely, you know Jesus, you serve Him, but you're holding out. If you want to surrender to Jesus tonight, just raise your hand. I can pray for you. Yes, Father, we just want to pray for every person who put their hands up, Lord. You know who they are, Lord. I pray, Lord God, for your Spirit to come mightily upon them, Lord. Just come and do a new work in their hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your love and your power, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for good things to come in the name of Jesus. If you just want to step forward that we can pray with you, and don't be shy. Just clothe yourself with that garment of humility and say, God, I know that you resist the proud and you give grace to the humble. I need your grace to come forward, but I need to be touched by you, Lord. And God sees you as you come forward. He sees you that He just wants that obedience, because He wants you to die to your own flesh, that thing that, oh, what will people say about me? God wants you to die to that. He wants you to surrender yourself to Jesus. Yes, Father, thank you, Lord, for your love and your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you are a powerful, awesome God. In the name of Jesus, Lord.